Hey everyone, welcome to this installment of the Bromcast, where I'm thinking out loud about God, faith, and life in the gospel. It's been a while since I've been able to get an episode out, but I'm really excited to finally be behind the mic again and to have a chance to produce and to deliver some fresh content. And I want to dive into a bit of a denser topic for this episode, and I want to talk about the end times in the kingdom of God and how we can think appropriately about the end times in the context of the gospel and in the context of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished and in the light of what God has said and revealed about himself in Christ. So as you can see on the thumbnail, this episode is called Jesus-Focused Eschatology. And what I really want to get into a deep discussion about here is how eschatology and the end times, and especially the kingdom of God, actually fit together within the whole gospel and how they relate to the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And basically, my motive in producing this episode is that I think a lot of the time our eschatology and our understanding of the kingdom of God is event-focused instead of Christ-focused. And what I mean is I think that a lot of people, this is just at least in my experience, they think about Jesus' life and death and resurrection as just one sort of, I guess, checkpoint in our cosmic prophetic journey towards this kingdom that will only finally be inaugurated upon Jesus' return. And I think this kind of leads people into reading the Bible in the context of current events and geopolitics, as if the Bible is like a prophetic map that's supposed to give us like a breadcrumb trail to pinpointing the second coming. But the purpose of the whole Bible and the relevance of every prophetic word is ultimately in pointing not to an event, but to the advent of God in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. The whole Bible points us to the incarnation. You know, I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:19-20. He writes, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him." That's from the ESV. I want to read it in the 20th century New Testament. It says, "For as many as were the promises of God, in Christ is the yes that fulfills them." And this is from the New English Bible. It says, "Jesus is the yes pronounced upon God's promises, every one of them." And all throughout the New Testament, it's clear that the focus of the apostolic gospel isn't focused on this event that's taking place in the distant future. But the biblical orthodox apostolic gospel, it's focused on the God who became man in Jesus Christ through the incarnation and on what he's accomplished through his death and resurrection. And Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. He said, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So what I want to ask in this episode is, how do we think about eschatology and about the kingdom of God in the light of the finished work of Christ? Now, right off the bat, I want to make it clear that I'm not saying that Jesus isn't coming back. I'm not trying to say that the kingdom of God is only a spiritual reality or that we're somehow already seeing or experiencing everything that the gospel has to offer. Not at all. We are absolutely looking forward with confident expectation to Jesus' bodily return and to a real time in history when we'll literally see Jesus' reign of justice and righteousness and peace fill the whole earth. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that the way that we articulate the end times and the kingdom and eschatology, it has to be consonant with the finality and the total sufficiency of the finished work of Christ. We need to have an understanding of eschatology and of the kingdom of God and of end times. We have to understand these things in ways that accurately reflect what God has done through Jesus in his incarnation, in his life, in his death and resurrection, and even more so in his ascension and session. And we need to make sure that our understanding of eschatology and end times and the kingdom, we need to make sure that our understanding of these things doesn't mitigate or downplay the truth of what God has done and said and accomplished in the person of Christ. So we're going to be covering some pretty dense information, and I'm not sure exactly how far we're going to make it in one sitting. So this might actually stretch out over a couple of episodes. But I wanted to start off by sharing a couple of reasons why I think this is something that we need a bit of a theological chiropractic realignment on. And these reasons they're in no particular order, but I think they're each important in their own way. First of all, this is just practically speaking, I think a Jesus-focused eschatology would keep us from wasting a lot of time on guesswork as far as trying to figure out how close we are to the end. And again, please don't hear something I'm not saying. I'm not trying to say that we should have our heads in the sand as far as current events or what's going around in the culture around us. But my point is, Christian leaders in every era have taught that theirs was the last generation to live on the earth before Jesus returned. And we're no different. The thing is, though, end times predicting prophets from the first century until now have had a 0% success rate. And in my opinion, their main contribution to the body of Christ has been just to impart a spirit of paranoia. Now, you might ask, well, what if my guy is right? Like, what if this blood moon over Jerusalem will be different? And you know what? If he's right, praise God. Come, Lord Jesus. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't just a fluke. And I think, by and large, our time is better spent focusing on propagating the apostolic message of Christ in him crucified. And that brings me to my second point. My second point is this. I think a Jesus-focused eschatology would empower us and actually free us and emancipate us to focus on the next generation and to invest in their long-term stability in the faith. You know, especially as North American evangelicals and charismatics, I think we would disciple the next generation a lot differently if we believed that Jesus still might not return for another 300 years. I think we would focus a lot more on handing off the gospel clearly and accurately and actually equipping them to be the gospel to the next generation instead of either bracing for impact for a coming tribulation or just hiding in the church and waiting out the clock until the rapture. This is a true story. I know a local pastor whose wife made sure that they got on having kids as soon as they got married because she wanted to make sure that she could be a mom before they got raptured. And that was back in the 80s. I knew another couple who lived down the street from me a few years back, and they didn't want to have kids at all because they didn't want their kids to have to live through the Great Tribulation. There was an old acquaintance of mine, a guy I used to know, and his two roommates, literally believed that they were the two witnesses from Revelation 11. The ideas have consequences, and beliefs manifest as actions, and that applies to eschatology as well. My third point, I think a Jesus-focused eschatology would keep our focus where it belongs, and that's on Jesus. I think an integrated understanding of eschatology and of the kingdom of God and of the gospel would actually keep our hearts grounded in the Father's love for us and keep our minds set on the right here, right now reality of our union with Jesus in the Spirit. I'm not saying that it's wrong to look forward to Jesus' return, but I think that when we separate our understanding of eschatology from the truth of what has been accomplished in Jesus already, we actually rob ourselves of joy and wholeness and the supernatural power that's latent within us now, thanks to our union with Christ. We talk about God's kingdom being this tension-filled paradox of now and not yet, but I think that tension starts to get resolved when we start understanding the kingdom and the reign of Jesus as the direct manifestation and the result of what Jesus has accomplished through his incarnation and death and resurrection. And that then releases us and enables us to move in the power of the age to come in the here and now. So the main thrust of this episode is to make a case from moving from the language of the kingdom being now and not yet to a language of the time is coming and is now here. And to demonstrate why and how the manifestation of the kingdom of God, future and present, how it flows out of the realities of Jesus' incarnation and life and death and resurrection. So there's a couple of points that we're going to hit and dive deep into in this eschatology episode or maybe series. For one, I want to make a case that Jesus' prophecies about tribulation and about the end of the age aren't about the end of the age that we're in, but are referring to the end of the age of Moses and the law, which culminated with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And this leads to the bigger point that I'm trying to make in this episode, and I would really say this is the main thing, and it's that the eschatological victory of Jesus isn't something that we're waiting for that will happen after either a tribulation or a rapture, but it's something that has happened through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and especially through his ascension and his session. And this is the one that I really want to focus on for the time being. And I think this is the big problem in the pop eschatology that gets peddled across North America. And this is that the doctrine of the session of Christ has received far less than its fair share of attention. And I think this is a big reason that our understanding of the end times and of the kingdom of God is so disconnected from our understanding of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. So we'll start with the session of Christ. So what is the session of Christ? So the session of Christ, this comes from the Latin word sessio, meaning a sitting. And it refers to the enthronement and the recognition of Jesus as king when he was resurrected and ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. The session of Christ refers to Jesus' enthronement and rule as king of the entire universe from the Father's right hand. So because of Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father, all power on heaven and earth has been, past tense, has been given to Jesus. See Matthew 28:19. Jesus is the sovereign king of the entire universe, and Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand now. Now, I do wholeheartedly believe that Jesus will one day return and walk the earth again in his resurrected body. And I do believe that he will rule the earth from a physical throne in physical Jerusalem, from the throne of David. What I'm trying to say, and what I think is so important for us to understand, is that this future reign of Christ on the earth, it's not a different victory that Jesus is going to accomplish later on. It's not separate from his victory through his death and resurrection. But instead, this future reign of Jesus on the earth is the final expression and manifestation of Jesus' victory through his death and resurrection. And it's the manifestation of the dominion and authority that have been given to Jesus through his session at the right hand of the Father. So I think T.F. Torrance expresses this really well in this quote. And this is from the collection of his lectures called Atonement. And T.F. Torrance writes here, he says, "The final parousia or coming of Christ will be more the apocalypse or unveiling of the perfected reality of what Christ has done than the consummating of what until then was an incomplete reality. It will be the unveiling of the finished work of Christ. He will come again in the fullness of his humanity and deity to judge and renew his creation. But that will not be another work in addition to his finished work on the cross or in the resurrection, so much as a gathering together of what the cross and resurrection have already worked throughout the whole of creation, and the unveiling of it for all to see, and therefore an unfolding and an actualization of it from our point of view." So God's saving act has been, past tense, accomplished in and through the finished work of Christ. And I know that's a big assertion to make, and if you want to unpack that a little more, I would recommend that you go and check out the previous episode in this podcast, or possibly my book, God of the Gospel.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. I just wanted to take a minute and let you know about my book, God of the Gospel. And you know, as God incarnate, the gospel can be nothing less than Jesus Christ himself. And every belief that we have about God has to be consistent with what God has said about himself in Christ, or else be cast aside. And I really believe that a new movement of reformation is underway as the church rediscovers the beauty and the supremacy of Jesus Christ and the power of the simple message of Christ in him crucified. So, what is the gospel and who is Jesus? What does he reveal about God and what does that mean for us? God of the Gospel is a meditation and it's a layman's theological reflection on the person and work of Christ. Who he is, what he has accomplished, and who God has revealed himself to be in him. God of the Gospel explores the basics of the Christian faith from a distinctly Christological, gospel-centered perspective, connecting theology and experience for the next generation of believers. God of the Gospel is available on Amazon as both ebook and paperback. Get your copy today and start brainwashing yourself with the goodness of God.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
But this is the point, and that is that Jesus, fully God and fully man, has ascended and is now seated at the Father's right hand. And we're represented in him. In a mystical sense, we're raised and seated and present there together with him. But the scope of this saving act actually goes far beyond us. The redemption applies to all of creation. So resurrection and new creation are a seamless whole. Jesus' death and resurrection represent the destruction of sin's dominion, as well as the redemption and reconciliation of the whole universe. This is what Paul writes to the Colossians. He says, "For in him," talking about Christ, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." In 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul writes, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." So, in Jesus, we're participating in the kingdom of God, the new heaven and the new earth, the new creation, even now. And this is 2 Corinthians 5:17 from the New English Bible. It says, "When anyone is united to Christ, there is a new world. The old order has gone, and a new order has already begun." And this new creation is born in every way out of Jesus' resurrection. So that means that our ultimate freedom and glory in Christ, it isn't a promise that's been postponed to the distant future, but it's a reality that we're actually offered here and now. So Jesus is the Word of the Father, and he's the one in whom and by whom and for whom all things exist. And for that reason, the relevance of Jesus' victory isn't just for us, but through his person and work, Jesus has renewed all of creation. The entire cosmos has been given a brand new glorious life and the resurrection of Jesus. So here's the million-dollar question. If it is finished, and if the kingdom of God is established and has come, then why is the world the way it is? And how is Jesus being king actually relevant to this hot mess that we call human history? Or is this just a kingdom that is only spiritual, or that we only experience when we die? So let me be 100% clear what I'm saying. The kingdom of God is no abstract hope. The kingdom of God isn't some theoretical concept of Christ consciousness or whatever. And it's not just something that you experience post-mortem. To the contrary, the kingdom of God is a real kingdom. The kingdom of God is a real kingdom that has been established through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this kingdom has taken root and is growing and is increasing on the earth through human history as Jesus' reign is made manifest on the earth through the gospel. I love Isaiah's prophecy about this kingdom. And he says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." Now, in pop culture Christianity, we tend to interpret the word gospel as being a spiritual message, but gospel is a kingdom word. At the time of Christ and at the time of the first apostles, the word gospel was actually loaded with political connotations. By using the word gospel in reference to the Christian message, Jesus and the first disciples were making an overtly political statement. They were making a kingdom statement. They were saying that the whole human story, all of human history, has been redefined in Jesus, and that Jesus is king, and that Jesus deserves the obedience, the loyalty of the whole universe. They were saying that because Jesus is a real bona fide king, nothing could stay the same. Now, this is a quote. This is from Simply Good News by N.T. Wright, and he explains how the word gospel would have actually been understood in the context of the first century. This is what N.T. Wright says. "Starting with Octavian, the Roman emperors regularly used the words good news or gospel to describe both what they had already achieved and what life would be like as a consequence. When the early Christians used this language, they used it in a similar way. Something had happened because of which everything was now different. Something would happen that would complete this final victory, like Octavian returning to Rome and setting up his court. And as a result, the present moment was new and different. This good news transformed people's lives. It was bound to." And this is what I was hoping to unpack even more on this episode. But unfortunately, we're just about out of time for this one. But the point I'm wanting to make is that the kingship and the rule and the dominion of Jesus aren't an appendix to the gospel. Scripture doesn't present us with the end times as being separate from the message of the kingdom of God, or as being separate from the message of Jesus in his incarnation and death and resurrection. So there's obviously a spiritual dimension to the kingdom now, and a future dimension to the kingdom as being the final expression of Jesus' kingdom on the earth. But these dimensions all hinge on the fact that Jesus is king now, and that his kingdom has been established through his incarnation and death and resurrection and exaltation. So what we're looking forward to now is the final revelation of Jesus' authority and dominion until, it's as Hebrews 10:13 says, until all his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. We're living now in the realization of the finished work of Christ. And also we're living in anticipation for the ultimate and final breaking in, the full manifestation, the revealing and actualization of everything Jesus has accomplished. Amen. God, I thank you for each and every one who's tuning in today and hearing your word. And Father, I thank you for the kingdom that is coming and is now here. And Lord, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. And God, I ask that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, and that even now we would begin to perceive the mystery of the kingdom that is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am so thankful for each and every one of you. If you have questions about anything on today's show or anything that I could be making more clear, or if you just have feedback in general, please don't hesitate to reach out and get in touch. I would love to hear from you guys. So until next time, guys, God bless. Oh, 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 oh